Welcome to the weekly mini Parsha Shiur that we're doing throughout the summertime to ensure that we keep learning, even if it's just a brief idea. I'm traveling. In fact, I'm catching a plane. I'm currently in Venice, going to England in a few hours. And I just wanted to share with you a short idea on this week's Parsha, which is Parsha's Vayishlach. Before I share you the concept, the idea that I want to share with you, I'm going to just tell you a quick vort from the Kli Yoker. Very special to me because just a few days ago I was in Prague and I was by the caver, the gravesite of the Kli Yoker. So I think it's appropriate that I share with you an idea from the Kli Yoker. The Parsha tells us this is Yaakov Avinu coming back, and he's coming back and he knows he has to meet Esau. So Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, Yaakov sends Malochim, he sends angels, Lefonov, before him, to Esau, his brother, to see what is happening with Esau. And we know that the Malachim return and they tell Yaakov that Esau is on the way to greet you with 400 men, 400 people. So it doesn't look good, and Yaakov has to prepare, and he prepares and he strategizes in three ways. He sends presents to Esau, he prepares for war, and he davens. Prepares for war. Also, strategically, he divides up his camp into two different parts in case one is attacked, the other one can escape. So, yeah, and he davens, and that's what he does, and that's how we approach challenges of war, etc., etc. All both physically and spiritually, we strategize and we pray. So, on the very first pasuk, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, Yaakov said Malochim, says Rashi, Malochim Mamish. It means real malachim, not just messengers, because there are times in Chumash where malachim could just mean you send messengers, right? But here he sent actual malachim, he sent actual angels, which is very, very fascinating. And the question is why that is. So the Kli Yoker, the Sif Sacham says something similar. So first of all, there's an idea that he had to send angels because it was too dangerous to send men. He didn't know what would happen to them. So he sent angels. But the Kli Yoker explains a beautiful idea. How do we know it was actual angels? Because it says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov. In the Chumash, where Malochim means messengers, you don't find the word Lefonov. Like it says, for example, when the Jews were in the desert, they were going to go through the land of Edom. Moshe Rabbeinu sent angels. He sent messengers, sorry. Over there it says, Vayishlach Moshe Malochim. He sent messengers El Edom to the king of Edom to see if they could pass through. But over here it says, Vayishlach Yaakov. Yaakov sent Malochim Lefonov before him. The idea means that Lefonov means not just he sent them before him, because messengers also he sent before him. It means Lefonov means that the recognition that the Malachim are higher than us, they're holier than us. So the word Lefonov signifies some sort of transcendence, some sort of elevation of the thing you're sending. And therefore, that's one of the ways Rashi knows that it was Malachim. It was Malachim Mamash, it was real Malachim, real angels, and not just messengers. So that's one idea. Another idea I want to just quickly share before I get to the main concept that I want to share is just something that's so relevant nowadays and to understand the idea of moral clarity. So it says when Yaakov prepared, he prayed for war, then it says, Vayira Yaakov. Yaakov was very afraid. Vayetzer loy, and he was distressed. Rashi says, what's the double expression? He was afraid and he was distressed. He was afraid that he might be killed. He was distressed that he might have to kill. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, if Esau would come and actually attack him, defense, self-defense, would dictate that Yaakov would have to kill Esau. Did Yaakov want to kill Esau? No, Yaakov didn't want to kill at all. But would he be morally obliged to kill Esau? Absolutely. And I think this is just something that the world has so mixed up. Morality is not always good. Morality is not always pretty. It's not always happy, right? What's moral and what's not moral is what Hashem tells us is right and what isn't right. Sometimes different moral ideas conflict with each other. In Yiddishkeit, we value life. Life is absolutely sacred. So therefore, we do everything. We'll mechallel Shabbos to prolong someone's life for a couple of hours. We'll do anything, even if it's a suffix, even if it's a doubt. If a person's in danger, we'll break Shabbos, we'll do any avera. Because life is absolutely sacred. And therefore, for us to kill is never a good thing. Never a good thing. We don't want to do it. We never want to do it. However, sometimes morality dictates that we do kill. Self-defense, killing bad people, Sometimes it's a moral thing to kill. When Hashem tells us, it's not because it feels good. Morality is not about what feels good. That's subjective morality. That's morality which is created by people. But morality is something which is absolute. It's something that Hashem tells us to do. Yaakov knew that if he would be in that position, he would have to kill. And it's something that we have to kill, but he was distressed about it, and so he should be. Because we value life, and therefore even if we have to kill him when it's right to kill, doesn't mean we're happy, we don't celebrate it. Not every moral thing we celebrate. We do moral things because it's right, not because it's celebratory. And therefore he would have to feel distressed, correctly so. Same thing we know what's happening nowadays. The Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, has been fighting a war for so many months. It's an absolute moral law. It's eradicating evil. It's protecting. It's self-defense. It is absolutely right. Does that mean we celebrate it? No. Our enemies celebrate when they kill. They give out candies and they dance. We don't do that. We actually don't want to kill. The army takes every measure possibly to save life. But when it's have to and it's important, you do. You don't feel good about it. You don't celebrate it. But you do it because it's the right thing to do. That's what we learn from this pasuk. The Yaakov was afraid, but he was also distressed that he might have to kill. The final idea I want to share in this parasha is the following. Yaakov sends a message and he tells Malachim to tell Esav the following. Im Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan. As Rashi says, also he's trying to tell him that he's equipped spiritually. He kept all the Taryag garti, Taryag mitzvahs, and so on, 630 mitzvahs. And then he goes on to say, he said, you know, Vayihi li, tell Esav that while I was away, I had an ox, I acquired oxen, donkeys, then he mentions sheep, slaves, maidservants, and so on. And here's the question. Last week's parasha, we learned about Yaakov, 20 years in Lavan. What happened? What was he doing the entire 20 years? He was working. What was he working with? Sheep. Everything was about sheep. He worked 7 years shepherding the sheep to marry Rachel. But he ended up marrying Leah. He worked an additional seven years with sheep to marry Rachel. He then had 6 years where he worked for sheep as salary. Different kinds of sheep, spotted sheep, long sheep, white sheep, dark sheep. All the things that the Torah tells us about it, but it was all around sheep. And he amassed a huge fortune in sheep. Obviously, what happened then is he exchanged. He bought donkeys, he bought maidservants, slaves with the sheep. But it all came from the sheep. So it seems strange, therefore, in this week's parasha, when Yaakov is coming to Esav, and he tells him that he's coming back wealthy. He actually did well while he was away. For whatever reason, why Yaakov wanted to say that as a separate story, but he did. So therefore, he says, I amassed a large fortune. What does he start with? He doesn't start with sheep. He says ox, donkeys, then he says sheep. But why didn't he start with sheep? Wasn't that the basis of his wealth? As we learned in last week's parasha. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe once explained the following idea. And this gives a bit of depth to what Yaakov was actually trying to tell Esav. The foundation of a Jew is sheep. Sheep is a symbol of compliance. It's a symbol of Kabbalah's oil, a symbol of surrender. It is our foundation. Naseh v'nishma. We are completely committed to do whatever Hashem wants. It's a symbol of humility. We are humble. We understand our infinite gap between us and Hashem. We follow Hashem to be connected to His great presence. We learn His Torah and we do His mitzvahs. Our foundation is Moida Ani in the morning. Moida Ani doesn't only mean I thank you. It also means I submit to you. Our submission to Hashem is the very fabric, is the very essence of who we are. So, however, that could come with a lot of humility and it can come with almost sometimes a feeling of smallness. But it shouldn't. There are times in the world we have to show amazing strength. When we're fighting evil, we have to be strong. We have to use our talents. We have to use our strength. We have to become, we have to come with an air of strength and authority. We are going to overcome challenge. We are going to overcome evil. When Yaakov is faced, but the foundation is still sheep. Those shoyer, ox is a symbol of strength, but it's ox that's bought with sheep. Because the foundation is we do what Hashem wants us to do. When Hashem wants us to be strong, we are strong. When He wants us to be an ox, not a sheep, we are an ox. We can be a bull, we can be a donkey, whatever we can be whatever Hashem wants us to be for the greater cause, for the moral cause. But the basis is we are submitted to Hashem, we are compliant, and we are surrendered to Hashem, to His will. When it comes, when Yaakov comes, so of course, that's why the whole 20 years, it was all about sheep. But when he comes to Esav, he's facing Esav, he doesn't want to start with sheep. Esav thinks Yaakov is a little weak yidler over there, a weak person. So it learns all day, he's a weak guy, we can manipulate him, we can overcome him, we can destroy him. So Yaakov sends a message and he tells He tells the Malachim, when you come to Esav, tell him, Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan, yes, I'm submitted to Hashem, I kept the mitzvahs. But you should know that Vahili Shoir Vachamoir, I had a donkey, I had an ox, I had all these things, I am strong. Don't start with me. Understand who you're starting with me when I need to be amazingly strong, when I need to kill, when I need to fight, when I need to be strong in every single way possible, I can do that. I also bought sheep, I have sheep. My basis is sheep, but I can be very strong. And that's our lesson. We all have to confront Esau. We all go out into the world and we have these forces that resist Elokus, that resist godliness, that resist Kedusha. So we have to know when our essence is sheep, our basis is sheep, our basis is submission to Hashem. But that means that when we need to fight hard against evil, we can do it. Spiritually and physically, we can be a shor, we can be a chamor. And that's how when it came to Esav, Yaakov doesn't start with sheep. He says, don't start with me. Don't start with the yid. I'm a proud Jew. I'm a strong Jew. And therefore, I can be strong when I need to be. And that's why he starts with a shor and a chamor. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.